You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, part of it gon' hell. Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again.
Audrey.
It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, Marco, it's TJ. How is everybody this evening?
I'm doing great, TJ.
You know, it's that time of week, that time of week again where the Bigfoot Live radio show is going out to all them listeners listening all across the planet. By internet, by their cell phones or their home phones. You know, folks, we at Searching for Bigfoot want to once again say thank you for the wonderful year we had last year. I mean, all the folks, Mark out in Arkansas, Josh in Arizona, Josh up in Oregon, Zeke down in Arkansas. We had our pals up in Pennsylvania. I mean, Montana, all across the U.S. You know, and I thought and pondered about it during the week. You know, I think we probably went and visited 50 different folks that had different encounters all throughout the U.S. this year. And, you know, we went there and we helped these people get closure or you know, helped them understand what was happening. And that's what we do. That's what we do. We're here to help folks and try to figure out what's going on when they say they have a creature coming on. Sometimes it's not, you know, up in Rhode Island, the gentleman we went and saw, it turned out to be some kind of a little ferret type of an animal that was actually digging through and moving his body around enough just making footprints in the leaf litter, you know? But we just say it as it is, as we see it. You know, Rocky, you're on with me all right now, aren't you, Rocky?
I got him muted now.
Well, unmuted.
He's unmuted.
Happy TJ.
Hey, you know, I was thinking about the things we did down there in Arkansas. I just, you know, wanted to give you a heads up. We're going to talk about that at the end of the show, you, me, and Leo down there in North Carolina, so you know, okay? So you don't get
okay.
No surprise. Okay? But, folks, you know, we're going to pick back up with our gal down in Kentucky since, we missed her last week. Something must have happened. Maybe Bigfoot came by and picked her up and ran off with her. What do you think, Audrey?
Maybe. That's funny. How you guys doing?
We're doing fine, honey. We're doing real well. You know, this new year is upon us, and things are changing. Things are moving fast. It's going to be the Fast and the Furious 14 for us. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know, this weather up here in this area has just been blowing me away. This year, it's 7 degrees one day, and a day and a half, 2 days later, it's 70 degrees, you know? If I was these creatures, I don't know what I'd be doing. If I would be hunkering down or moving, what do you think? Tell me.
Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me, Audrey?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. You faded down for a minute there.
Okay. So what's been happening down in your area? Tell me what's going on with all this weird weather patterns.
Well, about 4 days ago, something got on my back deck, and it sounded heavy. You know how you can tell when something gets on the porch, it's like a heavy sound, thump sound?
Uh-huh.
And then I got up next to my window and slammed it real hard again and keep slamming on my windows real hard. It's too hard. And then my cousin's wife, she's in the room, and she heard a grunt noise, and she jumped out of the back room of my room. She said, "There's somebody here." She started running. But her husband, my cousin, she's cousin by marriage, he's Mr. Skeptic. You know, he's a big bad boy. You know, he don't believe in no ghost or, you know, haunts, whatever, Bigfoot, nothing. But now, Mr. T, he believes now. He's like, because we have a shed back there, they got to break it down and take the stuff out of it. You know, he's been going out there doing a little bit of time. He works during the day, and now he goes out there. Well, he comes in, he says, "There's something out there." He said, "There's something out there." So, "What do you mean there's something out there?" It's about 3.5-4 feet tall. It went straight up a tree like a bullet. It's got to be a raccoon. It was furry looking. And I'm like, "Yeah, I have no raccoons around here. Trust me." So I just didn't say nothing. You know, yeah, a raccoon, right? And then he was out there working for about a week out there, you know. And he comes in and goes, "Look," he said, there's something or somebody out there." He said, "You can hear weird noises." He said, "This is something weird out there." So, you know, I went out there with him one night just to see what's going on. And whatever was out there, the dogs was running and playing and running all over the place, running into each other. And I guess about 5-10 minutes after I was out there, they just stopped, Tom. They just stopped. And they got up next to me and cowered and cried and whined. And he was, like, getting throwing stuff around, you know, trying to put it up in the trash because we're trying to get the shed, you know, get it cleaned out. And he's throwing stuff in the big bender to get rid of it. And you could see, I'm not kidding you, they were so close you could have touched them. He says, that's not human. I said, "Oh, no. T, Eddie, that's just, his name's Tony, too." I said, "Here's the time with his Tony, we call him T." And he says, "Oh, no." He says, that's not, something ain't right. I said, "Oh, yeah, yeah." So I was just buffaloing him off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see them. They were surrounding us. They surrounded us. And there was more little ones than big ones. They were about 4 feet tall, maybe 3 feet tall. And you could see them shooting around us.
Right.
And he must have seen the big one down on his side, you know. And he says, "Okay." And then when we was going in, the dogs still would not get away from us. They was literally knocking us down because they were so scared. We kept like, kick them away, you know. So one time we got to the house, and it's like 2 days later, he said, "Do me a favor." Wakes me up 2:00 morning. He says, because he works all day. He said, "I'm going to go out and get this done, you know, let him know what's done." So I said, "Oh, okay." He said, "Come out here with me." I said, "Why do you need me to get up in the middle of the night? Come out here." He said, there's something out here, and it's going to get me. And it's not human, and it's big and furry. And I'm not getting killed by a big Sasquatch. The one he said, okay, he surround me. I said, what surrounds you, Tom? He said, when I'm out there and I'm just calmly cleaning it up, because it's quite a bit, he says, it's okay. But when I start getting loud, talking to myself, because I'm scared to death, he says, I can see them. They're huge. You're not crazy. It's Sasquatch. He says, but these are dark, black-looking creatures. He said, they're huge, huge. He said, they got to hold me. They rip my head off. They break me in two. So every time he goes out there, I have to go out there with him. But he's downtown right now, so I get a break. But he's, like, scared to death. I mean, this man's shaking. He's come back, and he says, something's not right. And his wife was named by my cousin, by Mary. She says, Nikki says, we told you there was something out there. She said, I told you I won't go out there at night. And he said, well, they were surrounding me. I said, they were going to jump me. And he used to make fun of us and laugh at us, you know.
Don't you laugh?
Yes, I think it's funny. I laughed at him. I said, they're coming to get you. Ooh. He said, what is with these things? I said, I have no idea.
Did he get to see one?
He's seen a bunch of them.
Oh, good.
Did
he get pictures?
No, nobody got pictures. He just, I thought it was imagination. He said, they're talking, they're looking at me. And he said, they're like 3.5, 4 feet tall. He said, they shoot up a tree so fast, it's like lightning.
Well,
he said, it must be the babies.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you have a breeding area near you.
I don't know, but that time when I was out there, I could hear them and feel them around me. You know how you can sense something that ain't right, and the dog started whining and got underneath my leg, and he started getting violent, and he was talking to me. He was so far away, he was just talking loud, you know, so I could hear him. And he started throwing stuff up, and he was raising Cain about this and working and griping about work. And I guess to them it was like maybe he was getting violent towards me, and I'm not centering myself, or am I centering myself? But it's like they was a rat. I tell you what, if you want to catch Sasquatch, you could have caught one that night. If you don't want to shoot one, you could have shot one that. I'm not for shooting, but if you're going to taste it and put it to sleep, you would have been able to do it. Because I looked over, and I said, there's one no more than 10 feet away from me. And it ain't but 4.5 feet tall. And it was curled up like in a ball, like it was trying not to let you see it.
Right.
But I could see it. And I said, it ain't 10. Oh, about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, late, okay.
Yeah, well, he was out there late. He gets off late, you know, he gets off about 10. He's out there about 1 or 2, and the 3 or 4 cleaning it. It's a big mess up. It's unreal. But it ain't so bad, you know, but we're getting it. But, yeah, he is a boy. He says, I am a believer. He says, when you get on the show, I want to hear it again. I want to hear it. He says, this is real. He says, I want to tell him. I said, well, you can, but he went out of town. He'll be back in a couple of weeks. But he's like, every single time he's got me going outside, come on, go out here to the shed. I said, the shed ain't 20 feet away. He says, I ain't going out there in that shed by myself. He said, them things are huge. They're huge, and they're hairy, and they're huge. I was like, oh, my God. He said, there are so many. It's un-frigging real. I said, well, I figured by now they'd go away, you know, because there have been a lot of people up on the property and stuff, you know. But, no, they about 2 or 3 days ago, they banged on my back door so hard. Honest to God, I thought they was going to push the door in. And I got a thick door back there. It's about 3 inches thick. The back door's reinforced,
right.
Whatever. It's thick as heck. And they was pounding so hard. I'm like, who is it? Go away. Leave me alone. Because I was feeling bad, you know. And I just thought it was somebody. But no. She said, honey, that's one of them critters. It's banging on the door. So, yeah, they're definitely here, you know.
Wow.
I know. And there's a lot of them. And I said,
yeah,
I know.
I'm thinking about them little ones. I'm wondering if there's a breeding ground somewhere near you. You have to check that out for me.
Well, I do know that if you go 14 miles down and maybe 4 to 6 miles up Dixie Highway before we go over top the river, there's Motor Speedway down there. There's a place down there, okay? And it's government owned. Government took it by the Fort Knox, but they took this over, okay? And it's all fenced in. And it says nobody's allowed to trespass. Now, years and years ago, when they talk about the wolf ones, you know, the Sasquatch-looking things.
Yeah.
Well, I did have an encounter with that years ago. And I just thought it was a werewolf, to tell you the truth.
Right.
It looked like a werewolf to me. And it actually chased us. But we was up on the out. Huh?
You know better now. You know what it is.
Yeah, I know now. But it chased us. And we went up on the side of a hill. And on the other side of the hill is the government, okay? You can get on top of that hill and go into that government side. But it's just something you won't want to do. You're not supposed to be there. But we can go on that side, and it's got like a fall and a good swimming hole, you know. I mean, my sister went up there years and years ago. Me and my sister, my three kids, her two, three kids, and her friends or something, all of us went up there. I said, Debbie, we're up on a hill. It's going to get dark. We got no light. These little kids are going to get scared. We won't be able to see our way out of it, you know, all dark, you know.
Right.
So I think the moon's coming up, blah, blah. Make a long story short, we got down the hill over the railroad tracks, and on to the left, there was a house there. And there was some weird noises going on, like grunting and growling. And all the kids heard the grunting and growling. And then off a distance, you could see something running big. And it was yelling at the ones beside us. And it sounded like wild animals or werewolves or something to us, you know. So I'm like, y'all need to get going. But by the time I turned around, I looked and all the kids were gone. They was like down that trail, you know, they was gone.
Yeah.
And this is just right a little bit past dark. Down there, you could see a little. We just got lucky to get down when we did. So we're all walking through, and then we got to a little bridge, and I said, Debbie, you can see something over there. It's huge. And it was making it worse. And with dummy me, starts sounding like a werewolf. I was just playing, you know. I said, what's the difference? A werewolf. Rawr. I was just playing. It stopped. It howled. It came at me, and Debbie said, that thing stopped. It's coming this way. Can you hear it? So she's running, and I'm running, and all the kids are pretty much going up the trail. And they're knocking. She's knocking me down, trying to get past the bridge. We turn around, and look, and so help me. It had dogs, huh?
No, go ahead.
It had dog legs. It looked like a big gigantic werewolf, like up on a werewolf show. And it looked at us, and it was like it panting and sweating and sweat off its mouth. And I said, "Holy shit! It's the werewolf!" She said, oh, my God. So she knocks me down. She takes off running. I said, well, thanks a lot. So I'm running, and she's running. We're about out of breath. And it came at us, and it's chasing us. Well, they all jump in the car. She caught up with them. They all jumped in the car. So they're all in the car, locked the car in. They didn't let me get in the car. I said, open the door. They go, no. I said, let me in. It's going to kill me. It's going to get me. Let me in. So I turn around and look. I said, oh, my God, there it is. So I was like, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to kick it right in its mouth. I was so scared and so mad. Uh-huh. I run 15 feet away from the car, and I said, come on, get me, werewolf. At least I'll go down fighting you, because, I mean, he was going to get me. You know, in my eyes, I was dead. He was going to tear me up. I was thinking all these horror flick movies in my head. And the sound, my sister said, my God, you made a sound that was the weirdest sound I've ever heard anything out of you. I said, what are you talking about? I got so scared, I was like growling back at it. And I made some kind of weird noise. It stopped. It wasn't 2 feet away from me. It was huge above me and looked me dead in my eye. It was like, and it just turned around and run off. And I started crying, and I probably wet my pants. I was so scared. I got in the car and said, now you're going to let me in the car. And they were like, I can't find the keys. They locked me in the car. I was so damn mad. I want to beat all of them up. And I said, you know what? And then after that, they locked. 2 weeks after, the government won't let you come back there now. They blocked that side off completely. So we think that they ain't no more than 14 miles from me. Where that's at, if you go to the back side of me. And if you're as big as Sasquatch, they walk faster. They can travel a lot faster than we can. So I'm thinking they're coming from that reservoir. I think that the government, I really do think this, because I've seen too much weird things up there. I used to hear them. I would just make jokes out of it. But now I'm beginning to put it all together over the years, you know. And I really believe that they've got a sanctuary for them up there. I think they protect them up there. I think they're protected by the government. I think, you know, it's just like E.T. and all that stuff they say out there about aliens. If it's there, the government figures it's better than us to know, whatever reason, you know.
Right.
Because, I mean, our society is... only believes, and, you know, you hear all these stories about ghosts, and it's all, you know, non-proven facts, you know? But if you had a real proven fact, that might make people crazy, you know?
Sure would.
Yeah, like, panicky, yeah. Well, if it is, it is, but, yeah, they got something going on up there.
Well, we're going to get there. We're gonna have to check it out. We'll plan some more time for you this year and get back out there and spend a little more time trying to figure out. Maybe you'll take us up to that area. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Okay. You know, Audrey, it's getting time to move on to my next guest. I want to say thank you again for coming back on the show. If you want to listen in, just hang on. And if you want
okay.
to chime in, you know, we'll get time back in, okay? And we're going to go
okay.
ahead and break up, pay some bills, and come on back here with Dave Ortiz out in New Mexico.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
All righty. You know, folks, I was throwing a break here. I'm just sitting here thinking about Audrey and all the little creatures that were running around and scaring T, her husband-in-law, her sister's husband. Wow, that's a very intriguing. I'm thinking there must be some kind of a breeding ground up there. You with us there, Mr. Dave from New Mexico?
Sure am, and heard that story, too. Boy, what a fantastic story.
Isn't it something? You know,
yeah.
It's she's got some wonderful things going on. We were able to spend 4 days down there during the summertime, and the strange thing is this, we had our cameras on, and Mike Green, if he's listening, can attest to this. Our cameras were somehow being turned off or running out of juice right when the creature was going up and taking our bait, because we would show up to the spot and our bait was taken.
Wow.
And we were like so excited. We had thermal imagers pointing on it. You know, we were going to have proof. And we go back and we start looking through the film and it dies at, you know, 4 or 5 hours in, which, you know, just wanted to kill us. But
yeah.
Tell us what's been going on there, Dave. What's happening by you? Tell us about the area and what's happening with the creature and whatnot.
Yeah, well, here I'm up here in the Four Corners. We're four states. The only place in the United States where four U.S. states meet: Utah,
yep.
Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico. We had kind of an active late fall. It was very late toward October is when our activity arrived. or well, it was always around, but just where we, you know, where it was just extreme. And then it, as soon as our cold wave came in November, it slowed down as what it usually does. But now it's starting to kind of pick up again out in the San Juan River bottoms between Shiprock and Farmington. In fact, last night my friend Brenda Harris, told me that she's. In fact, I was on the phone with her last night late, about 1 in the morning. She said she could actually hear howling going on behind her property. And this has been going on, I guess, on and off for at least 2 weeks, or maybe longer, but that's as far as she noticed, is about 2 weeks. And it must have come pretty close because she said her dogs were actually growling, and she didn't have a flashlight with her, but it was, and then it got, it just got really quiet all of a sudden, she said, and it just stayed quiet. But just how she can determine where these things are going is that she watches her dogs' heads crossing fields.
Mark.
Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear us?
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's a smart idea. You don't look at your dog's head. You can see through the dark. Absolutely.
Right, yeah. And using that as an indicator of where this thing's traveling. And she said this is a usual path that these things take, usually from west to east. And they cross barbed wire fences, apparently. And it's been very wet up here, too. Normally our winter would be extremely cold, but I guess we're getting that California moisture that's flooding California, Northern California at this moment, and it's been very mild. You know, I mean, our mild here is like upper 30s to mid 40s, but above freezing. So we're getting a lot of water, but not getting snow at this location until you get about 7,000 feet, and it starts, you know, accumulating into heavy snow. And actually, the mountains are just screaming with snow this year. It's like, it's great.
Oh boy.
Yeah, a lot of skiers and winter people, you know, winter sports people are just enjoying this. And even in Durango, Colorado, which is 45 miles north, they've been getting a lot of rain too. Usually they have about 2 or 3 feet of snow in the city, and there is snow, but it's all like mashed potatoes, you know, just full of rain. And I haven't heard any reports from those mountains. I kind of have a feeling that these things either migrate to our area and.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a water source and there is still fish in the water. The river isn't even frozen this year, so it's like, wow, you know. This is just an unusual phase. So, but we have had some howling, and then I guess there's some stuff going on to the west side towards Shiprock. I guess that whole stretch right there is just kind of still having some Bigfoot activity. So, you know, it keeps us active. I haven't gone out too much lately. I'm relying more on Brenda to tell me what's going on, but she says she's been chasing a few reports, and it seems like when she gets there, it's already happened or they've moved on. But we're just keeping our ears and eyes open for whatever can come up.
You know, I'm thinking about the strange weather pattern. I mean, usually by now, you guys are covered up in a lot of snow, and for you not to have any, that's kind of strange.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, you were here one time when it was about this time, and it was pretty cold. You know, it was like 2-3 inches of snow, but it was, you know, it was definitely winter, and it seems to be more like it's our late March right now. it may change because we're getting a cold front later this week.
But what do you think those weather patterns are doing with the creature right now? Just to speculate.
Yeah, well, it definitely seems like it's more active down here in our river bottoms. So. I think it's keeping them here instead of, and it's kind of showing that maybe their migration patterns are going down the river more, you know, on a normal winter. But this year, higher up here, and I've even heard a little bit of activity here in my neighborhood. We, you know, the river is only about 3/4 of a mile away, so I have heard a few little grunts and groans. But and this place is private, there's nobody, no. Citizens or anybody down there to, you know, be wandering around in the middle of the night. So they're obviously
right.
Yeah, I watch my my cats too. They listen to this stuff, and when one of them will sleep with me at night, and if he hears something unusual, he perks right up and looks out the window. Say, oh, in fact, that happened last night. I said, oh, I guess we got a little activity maybe out there. That or coyote. So.
Well, yeah. So have you kept in touch with Leonard Dan?
I see him on Facebook once in a while. He's still around. I talk to his daughter once in a while too, and he hasn't reported much activity at this time. So, I should get a hold of him to see what's up with Leonard. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious. You know, haven't heard from him. Making sure he's still with us. He's up in his age.
He sure is. Yeah, he's been busy. He's just back and forth in town.
Leo.
In town and everything. So, but he's still around. I need to chat with him too. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Got a lot of stories. You know, I saw him on TV here a few years back. He was on one of the shows. I wanna say it was that gold Superstition Mountains Gold Show.
Yeah.
And
he was on that one, and he was also on Monsters and Mysteries in America. I was on that one too.
Well, okay. And I saw him then, and I said, I saw a repeat of that, and I went, I wonder how Leonard's doing, you know.
Right.
You know, we go way back, you know, Leonard, Dan, you, me, J.C. Johnson, God, what was the gentleman that ran the fast food restaurant?
Gosh, who was that? There was Jim Jernigan a long time ago.
Jim Jernigan. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You just threw back and, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I remember the camp out we had up there in the Lukachukai Mountains.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, place is still pretty active too. It's very active up there. It's a hotbed for sure. It's been staying like that, and maybe even more actually since the last time we were there.
Really?
Yeah.
Jim Jernigan. Wow, name from the past.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to look him up.
Yeah, he was the one that told me that night. We shared a tent, and I fell asleep, and he said, and he actually stayed awake. It was about 5 in the morning. He said he actually heard movement out there, but he couldn't really tell what it was, you know, so.
I recall we went back out, and we hiked about a mile east, and we found all those bear prints. Remember that?
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, and besides going and looking for the Coronado Gold.
Yeah, we all loved to find that.
Yeah, that was fun, you know.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
God, guys, the Lukachukai Mountain Range is a place of heaven. It's untouched. It's on native. Is it on native land?
Yes, it is entirely.
Yeah, it's on native land, so it, you know, you don't have people out there camping and all that, you know. So when you get out there, you get to really experience all the history plus the outdoors at the same time, as well as, you know, all the sign of the creature. I mean, we had that creature up on the side of that rock face that, you know, it was just amazing, you know.
Yeah.
God, my all of it's coming back to me now, you know.
Yeah,
this old mind,
great.
You know.
Yeah, it's
wow.
Like I describe it as a sky island up there. You know, its base is on a high desert around 5,000 feet, and then they jet up to 9,000 feet. And it's kind of like a piece of, in some places, a piece of Canada, in some places full of ferns and firs and aspens. And just
it's a perfect example, a sky island. You're right, because you're way up there on top of that, I guess, butte almost.
Yeah.
You know?
I took my dad, I went with Brenda, and we went to a particular canyon that has a lot of activity, and took my dad there. He was just like in heaven. He says, this doesn't even seem like we're in the reservation or near a desert, you know. He says, this is great, you know.
Wow.
And of all things, we had a small group of people. That was last summer. My dad is an avid hunter. Not so much now. He's 82, but all his life he's hunted elk and deer. And when we took him up there, he was actually seeing signs of a possible Bigfoot activity that none of us had seen previously. He says, I see tracks here, measured the tracks, the width, I mean the stride, and you know they were like 4 to 5 foot. He says, this is here. He said, and he's kind of a semi-skeptic. You know, he doesn't want to just say everything's a Bigfoot, but he said,
sure,
that's not a deer, and it's bipedal. He says, and it's going up that hill. And he could hear it, even though his hearing is really dulled. He still heard the crunching of something making footfalls. And
wow!
Apparently, a half hour after I had to leave. I had to play in a band that evening. So, but a half hour after we left, that small group that still stayed heard a Bigfoot whoops very loud. And actually before that whoops came, there was a herd of deer coming right straight at Brenda and the small group, and she had to wave her arms to get those deer from running over them. And then just about a minute later, there was a loud whoops that just come up from the lower part of the canyon. So apparently this thing had scared the deer up, and it was probably those foot impressions my dad found earlier.
Sure. And those deer, if they're running towards people and they really saw them, if they weren't scared, they would have jumped somewhere else. That's lots of telltale signs. Wow.
Yeah, and one of the people was from, a couple was from Las Vegas that was some friends of ours, and he's usually a city-bound person, and he was totally amazed. He was blown away. He says, wow, I've never heard of whoops like that, live in person, just always on the internet. It was like, to him, it was like a stereo, he said, in that small spot canyon.
Well, but, you know, Dave, this is like walking down memory lane again. Chat with you for the next 2 hours, but we've got to move on with our next guest. I want to thank you again for coming back on and sharing what you have with us this week. And, you know, hey, you're welcome back anytime. And, you know, I just got to let you know, Dave, you got to go on the internet. There's this guy. If you go onto a YouTube channel and you Google Peter Kane, C-A-I-N-E, dog training, he's got the funniest hoaxing stuff going on right now. You'll get a kick out of it.
I'll check that out. Peter Kane.
Okay. Yeah, C-A-I-N-E, dog training, and Bigfoot. Okay. Put the word Bigfoot in there. It'll pop up. You will laugh. He's had kidneys in a jar, a Bigfoot defrosting, a Bigfoot arm defrosting.
Oh, I did see it, the Bigfoot, the actual foot defrost, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that guy's great. I didn't know who he was, though. Somebody just showed it to me, and I didn't catch what it was. Thanks for giving me that info.
He said Cornell doctors have got his stuff, and he showed a picture of one of the Cornell doctors, and then, we have to do our background checks here. We have to, make sure that we're keeping people straight. You know, we may have been caught in a few hoaxes, but, caught with people doing hoaxes, and we've busted them. And just like this guy, we found this Dr. Dirk Johnson, is actually one of his good friends, Chris Pfeiffer. And I've got pictures up out of them, but I just wanted to pass that along to you. Folks, we're going to be coming back after the break with Mr. Michael Green out in North Carolina, who has actually gone out on expedition himself because he's close to the area where we got the calls. There was a gentleman up there that, had some incredible experiences going on, knocking, rock throwing, scaring of his dogs, coming up to his house and beating on it. And Michael Green's going to come on after the break, and he's going to go ahead and explain what happened and what's going on with the investigation. So we got Michael on still, right, Marco?
Yes, we do.
Marco? All right, let's go to break. Come on back with Michael.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back. And TJ, also Eric is on as well.
Awesome. Eric's going to join us in the last segment where we're all going to kind of talk about the happenings that are going on now with Kane, so he'll be jumping into the last 10 minutes with me, Rocky, and Michael, and anybody else who wants to jump in. So,
okay, folks, Mike's son.
Just wanted
I'm
to
here.
Bring you up.
I'm here.
You know, Michael, you know, we had that call from North Carolina, and you went out and did the investigation 2 weeks in a row, and you know, I thought you'd come on and share your findings and, you know, what's going on, what's happening up there in North Carolina.
I'd be delighted to. It's a mixed bag, but all in all, it's a pretty interesting story. This guy lives up at about 2,500 feet, which is like halfway up the Smokies. The last mile is all twisty up and down, bad dirt road, and well, I'll get to why I almost got stuck there. Anyway, after he called Tom, I called this guy and talked to him, and he gave us the usual, you know, we got footprints all over the place, and they're knocks and howls, and he poked his head out the door, front door one day, and saw one about 9 feet tall, reddish-brown, just walking away from him. So this all sounded pretty interesting. Nice guy. So I drove up there, met him and his wife. The guy's 58. Now, I'm 75. This guy looks like he's my grandfather. I hate to say it, but he is not a well guy. He's got lymphoma. He's had his pancreas removed. I'd give him 6 months to live. He's in constant pain all the time. And when I was there the first night, he had not gotten his pain meds refilled, and he was in so much pain he could barely get off the couch. So I gave him some of my hydrocodone that I take for my arthritis, and that cheered him up a little bit. But anyway, nice guy, and he took me out. It was still light the first time I got there, and we're walking around his house, the new house they had built, way out in the woods, up in the woods too. But the since it's a new house, there's no grass around it. It's all sort of gravelly stuff that doesn't really lend itself to footprints. It's not like mud or sand. And we're walking around, and he's saying, "Look, do you see that footprint over there? And look, there's another, and here's another." And I'm going, "Yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm." And to myself, I'm going, "Are you nuts?" This guy says, "You know, I was a Marine sniper." Now, he wasn't the Marines, and maybe he was a sniper, but snipers are trained not just to shoot, but, and TJ, you can speak to this better than I can,
yeah,
but not just to shoot, but they're really good at field craft and tracking and picking up, you know, stuff and reading signs. So the signs this guy was reading were too subtle for me, but I didn't say anything.
Sure.
Anyway, at about this time, his neighbors pull up in a four-wheeler and get out. And these guys are from a couple from Long Island. They just moved down, and they're going, "Yeah, well, you know, our cat disappeared, and yesterday we haven't seen our dog for 3 days, They're sort of going, and sort of corroborating his general demeanor. But
right.
I wasn't too impressed with the footprints. Anyway, they gave me a nice dinner. They have two horses in a paddock. The paddock's surrounded with a 6.5-foot electric fence. Now, the inside of it, where the horses are, is all dug up. With the horses moving around, you know how the inside of a horse corral gets. The outside is this sort of hard gravelly stuff where the new house sits on. Inside the paddock is a small barn about the size of a 2-car garage. On the it's made out of metal. On the side of the barn was a wagon wheel about 3 feet, wooden wagon wheel, about 3 feet in diameter, that had been hung up on a nail as a decoration. This had been knocked off the side of the barn and was lying on the ground in 20 pieces. Okay? Now, he says he thinks the Squatch did it. I don't frankly think you're going to find a Squatch is going to jump over a 6-foot wire fence into a paddock with two big horses in it, unless he's got a pretty good reason. And I can't think of any reason to do it. Right. And I couldn't find any footprints on the horse side where the ground's chewed up enough so that if there were something there, you would be able to see a footprint. I think what happened is that one of the horses was probably rubbing himself, as they like to do, rubbing himself against the side of the barn, rubbed against the wheel. The wheel fell down on the ground, and the horses just tromped the shit out of it. It wouldn't take too much to break it up, but certainly okay. A horse jumping up and down on wood. He thought the Sasquatch did it. Anyway, to make a longer story short, next to the paddock he had another barn, and this one had an open face towards the woods where he said he'd heard all the commotion. So I backed my van into that barn with the nose of it poking out, but just backed in enough so that the sliding door on the side of the van I could leave open and sleep there, and then I could get out at night unobserved by whatever was out there because the barn would hide me, so I could get out and maybe get a shot off.
Right.
Anyway, so I took one of the thermals off the van and put it basically on a long extension cord, if you will, and stuck it out pointing down towards the woods, and put it on the digital video recorder with a motion detecting circuit on it, which would wake me up if it detected anything. Well, no sooner did I get all this set up, this is the first night, than it started to rain, cats and dogs, and it rained nonstop all night long, so hard, a truck could have driven by and I wouldn't have known it. So that night turned out to be a waste. So I said, okay, fine, thanks a lot. I left the guy one little handheld thermal, and that was Christmas night, actually. And then 3 or 4 days later, I went back up again and had dinner with him, put the van out in the barn again, basically repeated everything that I'd done before. He said that the night before I got there, the second time, his dogs had been acting weird, and he has two small dogs, and they were running around, and he said to sort of tease the dogs, he was drumming his fingers, rat, tat, 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 on his coffee table by his sofa.
Mm-hmm.
He said he drummed his fingers, rat, tat, 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 and then on his front door at night, he heard rat, tat, 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 same tapping. Mm. And he has a .44 Magnum pistol sitting on the table. So he picks up the pistol, runs out to the door, and he says, just in time to see something vanish into the woods. So this was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So I set everything up again, and now I'm into spending my second evening with this guy and his wife, and I'm getting to know him better. He's a nice guy, but he's really, really sick. And he's really, really heavily medicated. And I think maybe he's got a little imagination going. Right about 3 miles away, and you guys may have read about this, there was an enormous forest fire in North Carolina in the mountains a couple of months ago. A really big one. Well, they stopped it about 3 miles away from where he lives. So all the wildlife, and this covered thousands of acres, all the wildlife there got displaced. And they got a lot of bears around there anyway. I think that the bears in that burned out area, and the deer and whatever else too, and maybe the squatches, they had to leave, and some of them probably came up and are living around his house. Whether or not there are squatches there, I honestly don't know. It's a mixed bag. I'm not too enthusiastic. It's only 2 hours away, and I'm in constant touch with the guy. And I'm going to go back just to see how he's a nice guy, and to see how he's doing. And I don't mind spending another night there. I have to wait, though. I'm getting my right hip replaced next week. That'll keep me off the road for 6 weeks or so. And then I got to wait until spring, because the second time I was there, I had to get up early in the morning because snow was expected. And if you get caught up there with even an inch of snow on that crappy, hilly dirt road, you're going to stay there until the spring, I guess. So I had to beat feet the second day. The bottom line is, it's once again, it's one of those maybe situations. People with maybe an overactive imagination, no camera, no footprints, no proof. He says he saw one standing right in front of him. I don't know if it's the hydrocodone or the pain or what, or if he really saw one. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out.
You know, and, you know, every investigation can't be a squatch. We know that. I mean, we'd love it to be. It'll make our jobs a lot easier, but sometimes, you know, people's overactive imagination along with a little bit of a pain medication, you're right. Sometimes things do happen along with a fire. You know, folks, talking about people and over-imagination, you know, it's been a few years. Marco, you can unmute everybody so if they want to tone in on this. We got Leo and Audrey, I think, still on mics there, and Rocky. You know, if you've been following the Bigfoot news, right around Christmas time, like Mike was saying, these videos started coming out, new ones. And I wasn't informed of them because I probably haven't been paying attention because, you know, it's off time and it's family time. But when some people send them to me, I'll open them, and other people I don't. But somebody sent this to me, open it, and it was a guy sitting on YouTube in his house with birds, pigeons flying around, dogs everywhere, and he's claiming that in the package from 1972, his father and another guy hunting shot one of these creatures, dissected it, and it's been in the freezer all these years. He forgot about it. He's taken over the house where his dad lives in, and this creature was still in the freezer. And people were telling him he was nuts, so he was going to unveil it on... okay, so he does this first one. He's got the foot. He pulls out a paper wrapped, old paper bag wrapping with a note. Oh, that's a note from my dad. Heck, maybe that was the receipt from the company that made it. Who knows? And he's pretty entertaining. And I'm thinking to myself, it's very Rick Dyer-ish. And it's been a while. It's been a while since we've had a really hoax, you know. So I informed everybody on our team and our board, Mike's included, and said, hey, go check this out. What do you think? You know, Mike's right off the bat, the guy's a kook, and I'm thinking the guy's a kook. But, hey, I got to keep an open mind because you never know. We have to be there if he needs it, right? So time goes by, and then he has a hand that he unveils. Then he takes off the foot the next time, and he cuts a piece of meat off so he's going to eat it, even after his dad left a note saying, don't eat the meat, you know, and... it's Peter Kane, C-A-I-N-E, dog training on YouTube. You can find these videos. You know, I want to kind of throw this at everybody. Do people like this harm our industry or help it? Can anybody respond?
Well, it's the kind of stuff that can indeed really harm our credibility. Because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, we're not connected with everybody in the Bigfoot world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just like me and the Swede. Your dad had us go do some investigating in southern Arkansas. We got down there, the Swede was asking the guy a bunch of questions, and, you know, you can tell a little bit about somebody just by looking around their house. Well, I saw a picture of the guy in a gorilla suit at the ring party. And so, you know, we informed him that everybody likes a good joke, but if he knew anybody that had a ghillie suit or a gorilla suit, before they came out there where we were, that, you know, if we saw something that we mistook for a Bigfoot, that, you know, that I would use a hand-loaded Barnes X of 180 grain round out of my .30-06, and then the joke was over. And a lot of people don't realize the danger of hoaxing.
You know, yeah. I'm glad we got Theo on right now because I want to ask his question. I know he can answer. So, Leo, if we were out hunting, you know, doing an investigation, And somebody came into our camp in a Bigfoot suit, and we actually felt threatened, and we shot that creature thinking it was a Bigfoot trying to harm us. Maybe it was throwing rocks or whatever he was doing to, you know, play the role. And we killed them. Would we, as investigators, have anything to worry about, or would you guys look at it as, well, it would be like a guy out while people are hunting bears? How would that, what would happen to that person?
Well, TJ, first of all, I'd like to say Happy New Year to everybody on the show tonight, especially to Mike.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
And one of the things I'll start off by saying is, no, you would not be in any kind of, you wouldn't have any kind of legal ramifications. And the reason I say that is because that's almost like someone saying, I'm going to walk in a bank, and I'm going to rob the bank, and I'm going to say, hey, I'm sorry, it's a joke. You know, what a lot of people fail to realize is that when you're out in the woods, when you're out in the forest, when you're in a deep wilderness, and they know there are dangerous animals out there, and you don't know what you're going to encounter. So that is not the place to play a hoax. It's not the place to play a hoax. And I'm sorry, me personally, you wouldn't be charged in any kind of way. That's just me. Because in any kind of situation, when you walk into a situation, you look at the totality of the situation, and all that is added up, and it's put down into an instant report. And that instant report, everything is compiled. And I know Mike knows this from being an investigator himself. At the end of the day, when you take all this evidence and you put it together, when you take all the information, you're going to paint the picture of what actually happened. So to answer your question in a nutshell, me personally, no. I wouldn't think it would be any problem because you know the situation you're walking into. You know what people are doing out in the wilderness, hunters, anybody of that nature. That's why we have different type of precautions. So, you know, when you come into the wooded area, you wear orange, you wear green, you wear this, you wear that. But a lot of people come out there to try to just to fake the situation. No, they're putting themselves in danger.
Well, awesome. Great point. You hear it, folks. And you know why we call him Leo? Because he's a law enforcement officer. And we can't tell him by his name because we don't want his identity out. But so, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I've always never thought about asking it until that moment, because I used to say if I caught a guy in the woods as Bigfoot, I'd bury him after I shot him.
I'll tell you what you do, TJ. You just call me, TJ, when it happens.
Okay. You know.
Call me too, TJ. I'll bring a shovel.
There you go, Michael. Thank you. You know.
Well,
but
TJ, a couple times, there have been a couple of incidents here in the last year or so where people have dressed up in ghillie suits and monster suits and gotten killed. And it wouldn't be too far fetched for somebody to do something like that, and then I'm getting shot.
Well, I know, I agree with you. I know about the guy up in Minnesota. He got run over by jumping out in front of cars, and you never really hear about what happens afterwards. You know, if anything.
TJ, I will tell you this from the first time that I met Mike Green, and the thing about meeting Mike and meeting your dad and meeting yourself. Is when you take this journey as far as searching for Bigfoot, you got to talk to people who can tell you the right avenues to take on taking this journey. And one of those avenues that I took is that Mike told me the first time I met Mike, and I sat down and talked to Mike. A lot of people sat down and say, hey, I'm going to figure out how the first avenue to make money. That's not the case. You sit down and talk to people who have wisdom that can tell you, hey, man, you're going to have some ups and downs. You're going to have some nights that nothing's going to happen. You're going to have some nights that things might happen. But your main focus is don't ask for nothing to happen. Don't want for nothing to happen. Just sit down and see what does happen. And your biggest thing is you got to go in this as a skeptic. Now, I said all that to say this. A lot of people will go out here, and the first thing they want to do is make money, and they can get themselves in a world of hurt. Because I know plenty of times that I've went into the Uwari, and here recently, going on to the North Carolina Bigfoot website, I found out that it's been some actions in my home county where I grew up that's been posted on this website. But what I try to tell a lot of people is, what you've got to realize is a lot of us who are enthusiastic about this situation, we're not looking to try to capitalize on this thing as in, say we're the first one to catch a Bigfoot. But if you don't watch it, when you get out here with people who are enthusiastic about it, and you're going into areas that are dangerous areas, you can get yourself in a world of hurt. And it's not just if I go out into the wooded area tonight, or if I go out into the Uwari Forest tonight, that I'm looking to try to shoot a Bigfoot. No, I'm looking to protect myself against anything out there that's going to be aggressive against me. And if your sole purpose is to play a hoax, that's the wrong place to play a hoax.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Rock.
I said amen to that.
Amen
you know
to that.
You know how it is where I go. There's bears. You've
yep.
seen them. We've had, me and the suite have had bears come in to camp a number of times. Well, I can't imagine anybody being stupid enough to be out there in a costume, but, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, there's, some people are just stupid. If they had any
think of it this way, we're cleaning up the gene pool.
Yeah, you
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
Yep. The gene pool. Yeah.
It's, folks,
I'd like to invite you guys, if you really want to have some good times and watch this guy, it's funny, and just look at his comedy. He is an artist, dog trainer, / comedian. So I think he's doing this to get himself a little bit of notoriety.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. So when you Google Peter Kane, Caine, dog training and video, or Bigfoot with Peter Kane, they'll pop up, you'll see him. And maybe we can talk more about it next week. I'd like to thank all my guests, my producer, Marco Bill, Mike, Audrey, Dave, Leo, and
yes, sir.
Rock Blavins for coming on the show this evening. Maybe next week we could all get together and do a roundtable on this. What do you guys think?
You guys?
Yes, sir. I'm game for it, sir.
Let's
right.
do that. And we'll
Good
come
night,
up with
everybody.
Some wonderful topics we'll talk about. So, Marco
right.
Bill, I'm going to leave it up to you because, Mrs. Calabas, it's a good night to you.
Good night to you, too.
Good night, Green.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.